within us, the desire to seek you and to serve you. And God, as we do that, I pray we continue to just quiet our hearts and our minds. And boy, there are so many distractions out in our world in which we live. So many things, and they don't have to be bad things. There are just so many options, so many things to do and to accomplish. And sometimes that throws us off track of just spending quality and quiet time with you. And Lord, even as we have seen this morning, we'll see a little bit tonight, what that looks like. And God, I just pray that we continue to have that desire, continue to pray for Ray and Doreen and the family and the homegoing of Rain's mom. And Father, just continue to strengthen them. And we mentioned Tom tonight, that you'll continue to strengthen him. Father, allow him to know that you are there with him, and you're carrying him through this phase. And God, for many others and through our midst that are not feeling well or going for surgeries. And Lord, we just thank you how you continue to strengthen us. You continue to physically and spiritually heal us in the ailments that we have. And God, we just uplift it all to you. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen. Okay, turn back to James chapter 1. We're going to pull one verse out of there. And then we're going to spring jump from that one verse. And then we're going to go on and study it a little bit. But the one verse, and I touched base on it a little bit, but I knew I was going to highlight it a little bit tonight. Verse 25, we looked at it again briefly. We talked a little bit about it, but I want to take verse 25 because verse 25, I think, is one of those common threads that go all through Scripture. And Christ goes all through Scripture from the very beginning when God stated in Genesis 1, "Let us create man in our own image." The Trinity is mentioned. All three are there when it says we, us, and our. And so from the very beginning of Genesis, the thread of Christ is all through it. The blood of Christ, if not prophesied, actually seen, and then through the resurrection, proclaimed. And so we are in the process now in our day and age of proclaiming that blood of Christ. But there's a common thread throughout Paul's writing, and I think most of the writings, and that is our growth. How we grow, our growth in Christ, our growth in our own personal, private lives, and I realize as I thought through this that tonight's most of us here tonight are have reached a level in our spiritual life of over more so than some others, but there's no stoppage in that because I'm not sure. I don't know about you, but every day I get a little older, get a little wiser. Then I may lose a couple more. But anyway, I keep trying to go forward with some of that. And there are different things that strike you differently because you are different. As you get older, you get different. As you get older, you think differently. You act differently. And so some of that spiritual maturity goes hand in hand with the age that we are. And as we grow, because we've learned from the mistakes or we've learned from the pain of the mistakes. And so some of that is common or, should I say, normal if we go through life. But verse 25, I'll read it quickly and then we'll tear it apart a little bit. It says, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." That concept of that, and again, when you look at but whosoever looketh into, it's the looketh into. It's an intent look. And again, the Greek does it much more justice than our English version. But it's not just a look, a glance. It's not just my 15-minute devotions, check the box, I'm done. The Greek has a connotation to it that it's an intently. It's more than just a look. It's a digging in deep. And we've been doing that. We started our Sunday evenings with that six-week Bible study about digging deeper into our Bibles and in our reading. When you see something that spars your heart or just strums a chord, pause for a minute because God's going to speak to you through his word and how to handle something going on in your life. And so when we see that verse and it's looking intently into, it's not just reading it. It's not just having a real quick reading some verses, But it's looking into, when you look intently into someone, something, how would you describe looking intently? Give an illustration of a reason you would look intently into something. Okay. What would be a reason to research something? Okay. Okay, so there's value. You research for value. Okay, you want to find out more about it, so you want to look into it a little deeper. What other illustrations or definitions? Looking deeper into it is the definition, but what are some illustrations? Because you do this all the time. Anybody research when they buy a house? Anybody look into things a little bit deeper? And online, which I'm confident some of you have no clue what I'm talking about, but when you buy things online, sometimes you get taken, huh? Because you can't look into it a little bit more. You know, it's just, it looks good on paper, so you get it. But every day we're exercising. You know, we don't make choices unless we do what? Look into it. So it's something very familiar. We just need to be aware that we're doing more of it. Buying a car, buying anything. According to Dave Ramsey and Larry Burkett, both of those gentlemen both said, if you are in a store and you see something and you're tempted to buy it, go home and wait and pray and then go back the next day. Don't impulse buy. If it's still there and you still have that desire to have it, then maybe it's okay. But it's the impulse, knee-jerk things that we don't look into. So if we take the illustration of knee-jerk or looking into and then put that into the Word of God and put that into our scriptures, what does it look like? And sometimes, again, to me, the knee-jerk is, you know, 15-minute devotion, check the box, I prayed and I read the Bible, I'm good. Looking into is digging in, trying to answer the why questions of God. To me, that's important. To me, it's like, okay, why do I need to look that intently on the perfect law? Or perfect law is basically God. Why do I need to look intently on that? And so when we start with the scripture and we see that one phrase, looking intently, we need to apply it. We apply it to many other things in our life. Going in for surgery, you just take the guy fresh out of the gate. I graduated from college yesterday, and I'm willing to do your open heart surgery today. Probably not. I mean, we look into things, right? Let me know you're here. Okay, we got it. Yeah, so scriptures should be no different. In fact, scriptures should be even prioritized in that. So practice that, looking into it more so than just briefing through. So then the next phrase we see of that, and continuing therein. Basically, once you dig in, once you look intently, you're going to continue to do that. It's not a one and done. It's not, you know, I've reached a plateau in my life and, you know, I got a pretty good handle on life. I'm not making too many bad decisions and things are going okay. I can take a break from that. And I'm amazed at how many Christians take a break from growing spiritually. It's the maintaining. It's I'm okay. I don't have a desire to go further because I'm able to maintain. And I don't know if you know any individuals like that. I know a few individuals like that. And it's like I always challenge them. Well, how do you know that your maintaining is preparing you for what's coming? I think our maintaining or our progressing, continuing, is a preparation for what's coming. Because we have no idea. What the grace we had yesterday may not be enough for the grace what's coming tomorrow. So we have to keep continuing going. God will give us all that. God, we need to understand that in our lives. So the trusting God and the building of the faith, that's the testing that James talks about. And so in building that, we have to continue in it. And again, if you're not a forgetful hearer, we mentioned that this morning, and that's pretty good because I'm reaching that plateau where I'm beginning to forget quite a bit. So I can understand this one. I write things down, then I forget where I write them. But anyway, when it says those who don't forget what they hear, so now you have an intently looking into the Word of God. You have a continually doing that, but there's more to it than that. It doesn't stop there. It stopped with, now, if you're not going to forget what you've heard from God, that's an action. That's the obedient. That's follow through, complete, do what God has for us to do. If you're not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And he illustrated that forgetful hearer in the verses preceding that of someone who looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets. So we understand that forgetting, but a doer of the word, it says, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Define that. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. Because there's maybe a different definition than what some of us may think that is. So we want to clarify that tonight before we move on. How would you define the last phrase of verse 25? This man shall be blessed in his deeds. Happy in the work, okay? Regardless of the work, as he's continuing on, he'll have the joy, he'll have the happiness. Any other definitions? Any other ideas? Okay. I appreciate the prayers for sure. Everybody needs all the prayers they can have on a good day, let alone on some of the days we have. So the blessed in his deeds. How does that come across? And I'm hitting on this because the English translation sometimes ruin or misconstrue the definition of the Greek. Now you're all afraid to answer me. Okay. Blessed, seeing some results in the work. Okay. I understand. Yeah, some would say that your prosperity theology, basically, you do good to get good. Yeah, some claim that. I agree. And I also agree that's not what it means. So that's a good one. What the word bless there, if you go back into the Greek and you look at that verse, and then look at that word, it blessed is you are blessed with more of Christ. That makes sense in that verse. So it's not so much, and there are blessing verses that we would get from deeds we do, but it's not so much that I'm going to get blessed any other way than the more I continue in, the more intent I look into, then I'm going to be blessed to have more of God in my life. Now let me explain what I mean by more of God. The only way that I'm going to have more of God is because my knowledge and my heart are going to match up. Because I believe at salvation, God gives everybody everything. I don't think God has an extra pouring out of. I think God allows you and I to know everything about him from the very get-go. But we don't, because why? We get in the way. Life gets in the way. Situations get in the way. We're not intently looking into the truth. Because back in John 8, 31 and 32, the Pharisees and the religious leaders were rejecting him. And he made a statement that if you are one of my disciples, let's read it. it's better if you read it on your own. So let's go back to John 8, looking at verse 31 and 32. And this comes through those who were not believing him. And verse 24 says, I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. So this whole context is about those who don't believe in Christ are going to die. In verse 31, it then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word. Now that's the same mindset as James saying, intently look into the perfect law, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So looking into the perfect law actually sets you free. That don't make sense, does it? Because law puts you in restrictions. Law puts you in places where you're not free, but yet the perfect law, Christ, will set you free. And so it's a freedom. So going back into James, you have this bless of more of him because you are getting out of the way. Your understanding is more. Your devotion to him is more. Your desire for him is more. John chapter 15 says, if ye abide in me and I abide in you, ask what you want. Now that's a wide open verse, but if you're abiding in Christ as much as what James is talking about, you know you're only going to ask for what God really wants you to have. And he's willing to give it to you. So there are all these sections of scriptures are now coming together. The common thread of, listen, the more you grow in Christ, the more you'll ask for the right things, the more of him you will have, or the more clear he will become because you're getting out of the way. And so there's a word that we use for that. What we've just described is basically sanctification, isn't it? And that we need to do that. I think we all of us should be studiers of the Jewish culture. We should go back and see the Jewish culture, because when I studied that guy, the rabbi I shared last week, and him making the statement that the first thing God ever created was the Hebrew language. I'm like, where do you get that at? Because he spoke creation into existence. Oh, that was good. I never picked up on that. Yeah, anybody pick up on that? I didn't pick up on that. Is it true? I don't know. It sounds good. But God spoke into existence. So what was the language of the day? It was Hebrew until the Tower of Babel. There was one language in our world until the Tower of Babel, and it was Hebrew. It was the language of his people. So I can see how he put that all together, and I can understand it fits in Scripture. Until the Tower of Babel, there was no other languages. But remember, God created all of the other languages too at the Tower of Babel. He gave them the language. So God creates, to say that was, you know, I can't, thus far in my studies, I haven't proven that. But when you look into the Jewish culture, when you look into what their understanding of the words are, you pick up something completely different. And so we should be students of the Jewish culture. We should be students of their time, where they were at when they read this for the very first time. And God is big enough to make sure that it is very applicable to you and I today, even though written many, many, many years ago. And so that's the integral part of putting this together and studying this together, But this blessed is not, some people think blessed is happy. Some people think blessed is acquiring. You go back to Joseph in Genesis 39, just before he got hammered by Potiphar's wife, that it states in verses 2, 3, and 4 that God prospered him. Everything his hands touched, it prospered. God blessed him. And everything he touched just worked well. Did you ever meet one of them people? I get angry at those people. I mean, the smart guys in college, they don't even have to hardly study. They read it, they get it, they pass the exams, and I'm still trying to read it. But see, we take this word blessing, and we need to understand to fit it into context. And in the context is, I am going to be blessed, which means only I'm going to be filled more of the power of God in my life. The more intently I look into his word, truth, the more I become a doer of what I know. Because, you know, when you walk with God and you live with God and you continue to work through this broken world with God, your strength becomes stronger. Your faith in him becomes greater. Your confidence and assurance in him is out of this world. Why? Because you see his hand working in so many different ways, in so many great ways. So that's the challenge of that verse. But again, we're using that sanctification. We use that word all my life. I've understood that word. Sanctification means we are set apart. It means we are supposed to be moving forward. So I'm going to look at sanctification real quick as we draw this all together. I just wanted to pull that verse out because it's basically a springboard to sanctification. Sanctification is about all the things that God takes away from us. All the things that God takes away. And so when we look at this understandably so, is it possible for a believer in Christ to still be self-centered and all about himself? Yes, no, maybe. Is it possible for a Christian to be very self-centered? I agree. I think so. Because they're not intently looking in the Word of God, because they're not doers, they're hearers only. There are many people who, and I think that's the reason why they're not intently going after it. Because that illustration in James about the mirror, when your face looks into the truth of Christ, you see you for who you really are. You see your faults. You see your struggles. You know. And it's the same concept of Peter when he denied Christ. The look, their eyes met. And when Peter saw Christ and Christ saw Peter, what did Peter do? He went out and wept. Because he mirrored truth. And when he looked at truth, it came back to him who he was. The one who just denied him three times. That's what the Word of God does. That's why it's so challenging. Because, listen, sometimes it hurts to go in deep with God. Because he's going to start digging up some of that old past. He's going to start digging up some of that stuff you've buried. And he wants you to take care of it. Why? Because the more you let him have, the more you are blessed to have more of him. And it's a cycle. It's a process. It's sanctification. So it's what God takes, what God wants from us. And basically, I think we can add another word to that. It's progressive sanctification is this. It is a deliberate act of our will. Progressive sanctification. Now, at salvation, we're set apart, right? That's what it means. We're sanctified. But there's a progressive sanctification. And that's what James 1:25 is talking about. It's us moving forward. It's us continuing our life and moving in a direction, and it only happens when we have a deliberate act of will. That's exactly what James was talking about to the people who had every right to be angry, to the people who had every right to be upset, because they're scattered, they lost everything. They had every right in our eyes, but James says, no. Listen, you live in a broken world, expect to be broken. Expect the diseases of the day. Expect when the stock market goes, he's not going to make sure all his children's money is still there and everybody else's is gone. When it goes, it goes. It's all gone. There is no separation of what this broken world will do to everyone in it. But yet there's a difference with those who know Christ. And so that's what James is getting to. That's what he's encouraging them to. And I think that's what sanctification does for us. Because if you and I are to grow, we have to do battle with that old man. We have to do battle with that old nature. We can't just let it go. We can't just, it's dead. It's fine. I don't have to worry about that old man. Well, I'm not sure about you, but my old man comes to life a lot. Thus the temptations that James talks about. Thus the testing of God that James talks about. That old man, I'll tell you, we revive him. It's very easy because it only takes maybe a look or it takes a thought or it takes a person. We are so at the edge. And I always look at it, I always raise my kids, and many of you heard this before, that when raising your children, you raise them as far back from the cliff as you can and draw the line. Because I guarantee you, every one of the children are going to cross the line. They're going to test the boundaries. And it's better for them to trip the line and get a Band-Aid on the knee than it is for them to fall over the cliff because you left it right at the edge and take an ambulance ride. It's you and I, God is saying, listen, you are my children, and I'm going to push you back away from that sinful edge as far as I can. But I know you're going to cross that line. I know you're going to go across that line. And so as we begin to see this putting off, Scripture says putting off. So an offensive action, to be progressive sanctification simply means it's a will of mine. It's an action. It's something that I'm going to actively do to stay on the offense. Because if you don't be proactive about life, life will get the best of you. If you're not proactive, and that's why I said you're maintaining a spiritual life for today and everything's going great, but if you don't build upon it, then when that day comes, you're not going to have enough in the bank. And that makes sense to me when you say the bank, the well. If you just keep the money you have in the bank right now and never put any more in, sooner or later, you're going to run out. Because you have automatic bills being taken out, right? Most people do, some people don't. But when you don't put in, sooner or later, it's going to come dry. That's the same thing with our spiritual life. If we're not putting in on the good days, man, them bad days are going to be hurtful. Those bad days are going to be hard. And it's harder to stand up from those bad days. So you got to be putting in. You got to continue to be putting in. So a couple verses I'm going to throw out at you. We don't have time to look at them because we're going to finish up a little more. But a couple of the things that we need to do to battle out the old nature. First of all, putting the flesh to death, Colossians 3:5. We need to kill that old man and let that old man die. Romans 6 talks about the same thing. That old man is no more effect. It says it's destroyed, but that Greek there, destroyed, means of no more effect. You have now a choice. You don't have to win this. Somebody who's not saved, their sinful nature, they don't have a choice. They don't have anything else to choose but the evil way, the wrong way. You and I have a choice. That sinful man is no longer able to influence us to the point to where we can never be victorious. Satan can take nothing that we don't rightfully just hand him. He can't have it. We're not his, it's not his. But we hand it over to him way too many times. We give him way too much. So we are to crucify, put to death that old man. The next thing, we are commanded, again, to crucify the flesh, basically, or the affections, the looking after, the lust, the wanting what God doesn't want us to have. And we see that in Galatians 5:24. We are to crucify the flesh. We are to crucify the want of something else. We sing the song, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. That's what we lust for. That's what we go for. But when that's altered, we end up missing it. We miss the bank. And then the second, third thing that we have in our arsenal that God gives us is Romans 12:2, renew the mind. You got to renew the mind. If you're not renewing your mind, again, what does renewing the mind look like? Intently looking at the truth. That's exactly what James said. Looking at that truth, continuing in that process. I'm gonna renew my mind because the way I think about things now, I may be thinking about them from the sinful, tainted mind, and I gotta see this differently. So, when the doctor calls, when life begins to crumble, I've got to look at that differently. When everything goes wrong, I got to look at that differently. When that person says this about me, I've got to look at that differently. If not, that old man's going to come up. That old man's going to fly. And I'm going to say something I can't take back. I'm going to do something that's not going to be right. It's the renewing of the mind, looking at it differently. And the only way it's a choice, man. We got to do that in every day of our life, everything of our life. If you would watch the news and try to look at it differently, when they say there's no hope, look at it differently. There's all kind of hope. When they give you all the negatives, look at it differently. Find the positives. They're there. Because why? Because God's still on the throne. God's still in control. So it's how we renew our mind is how we look at things differently. And so those are the three things. It takes effort. It takes hard work. It takes a determination. And most of all, it takes a divine help, because you and I will never muster to do this on our own. Again, looking intently in the truth, if you do not forget, but do, you will be blessed, because you will have the divine help you need. Exactly what James was saying. So bringing in this whole concept of sanctification, basically, how we do that, and we know there's scripture in Ephesians 6:10-18, the armor of God. If you haven't done a study on that recently, do a study on the armor of God. See what those pieces mean, because Paul just explained what a soldier looks like. The helmet, the breastplate, girding up the loins, the sword, the shield, all those things. As Paul was sitting there many times looking at these men, because he's in prison, understanding what that piece of metal protected on that soldier. The breastplate protected the heart. The helmet protected the mind. The groins protected the ground, the core. The sword was what he had to defend himself. The shield is what he had to defend himself. All of that in reality of a soldier, Paul brought into a spiritual. And if you have a problem with the thinking process, put on the helmet. Helmet of what? What helmet? What's the helmet for? Salvation. God, I need you. I can't do this. I can't do this alone. God, I'm losing this battle in my mind. I need more of you. Look intently to the truth. God will get you out of it. God will get you through it. And if we don't give up in the process and in the battle. So it's about what God wants to take away from us. And what would be your list of things that, I guess we could say a generic list, because I don't want anybody to tell on themselves. What's a generic list of things that are prevalent? And I'll give you one, pride. That's prevalent in many people. What are some of the other things, possibly? Greed. Love of money, sure. Jealousy. Some of the common things that are on everybody's list at times. And this is the thing. It's when somebody says you're a prideful person, that doesn't mean every minute, every day of your life you're proudful. Just at that moment, you're being proud. That doesn't mean that that's defined your life. It's just defining that moment. Or if you're not willing to follow God, you're disobedient. That doesn't define your life. It defines that moment. You got to work through that moment with God so that it doesn't become your life. and say, I think that's what sanctification is all about, and that's what God wants to take. He wants to take away the things, the worldly things, wants to take away the things that get in the way of our relationship. And God is telling me, and he's telling all of us, I want to get rid of the things in your life that affects our relationship. And that list can be many things. Many things can be on that list. Whether it's fear, doubt, anxiety, just simple things, whether anger, attitudes, or it's physical things even. You know, sometimes we get ailments and we just start getting a little ticked at God for why now, why me? And, you know, all those things that come into our life that affect our relationship with God, God says, I want you to get rid of that. That's progressive sanctification. But I can't. And the only reason why we can't is because we're not looking intently on the truth. I am convinced, as Scripture is very clear, if I look intently on the truth will set me free from whatever I'm struggling with, from whatever has affected me. The truth will set me free of that. And that's God. That's why we intently look. That's why we become doers and not hearers. That's why we act progressively on our sanctification or on our growth process. James explained it very clearly in verse 27 as we studied that pure religion, the undefiled before God the Father, is this, the conduct and character. You go visit the orphans. You go visit the widows. That's conduct. And then the character, keep yourself unspotted. Do what you can to have that life. That's character. And so those two things, as we mentioned this morning, fit very well into this progressive sanctification. And we're not going to do it on our own. Interesting enough, you can't get to verse 27 until you work through verse 25. You can't get to the conduct and the character until you work through the intently looking at the truth and becoming a doer of that, so you're blessed with more of God, so that you have the character and you have the, conduct to be able to go visit and to be able to be that person. And so to me, many scriptures started flowing together when I studied that verse, much more than I could. I already went over 15 minutes today and I had all this to give too. So you really would have been till 2 o'clock, but there's just times I just got to get it out there. You know, I just got to share it all that I've been studying and coming up with, and these gold nuggets and the way it's woven through scriptures. Because the more I see the weave, the more I trust the God who wove it. Because he continues to share the truth and he never, never contradicts himself. And so that's what I want to bring tonight. Any questions, comments on any of that? You're all thinking, uh-oh. What's up, Rodney? Sure. Yeah. Yeah, the stubbornness of the human heart, prideful goes into that. And again, we have lived in the land of blessings so long, we have forgotten our God. And I shared it before. Good times make soft men. Soft men make hard times. Hard times make good men. Good men make soft times. It's just a vicious cycle. And we are experiencing the result of living in some pretty good times. And it's made weak men, because why? We forgot our God in the land of the blessing. We're not intently looking at the truth. And so he'll bring us to points where we have to, because that's the only way to reach the goal. Back in chapter 1, verse 4. Perfect, wanting nothing. And that's the goal. Appreciate that. Anything else? All right, let's just close in prayer then. God, we thank you for the study tonight. God, I pray we continue to understand the process. As long as we live on this earth, this is going to be a process. And Father, we'll never get completely there. But Lord, there's a long way for us to go. And Lord, I pray, just as an encouragement, and My heart is that all of us have more of you, that we look to you, the author, the finisher of our faith, and we trust you more, and we serve you more, and we love you more. And Father, but it's an individual move. It's something that each of us has to do within our own mind, our own heart. And God, I just pray as we study tonight that you'll encourage us and strengthen us to move forward in that. God, we just give you the praise for the results in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.